what, if anything, the council expects from us on the recommendation and the edits to the recommendation that, that Bruce put forward.
Hi, this is David Ferris. Sorry to be late.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Tim Ruiz joined the call also.
Hello, Tim. Okay, we're starting to... So, we're missing the ISPs and the NCUC. Give them...
Someone sent the email this morning saying he wasn't joining, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if... That... You haven't heard anything from Kathy, is that right?
No, I've heard nothing from Kathy.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and talk about the agenda, at least, which, just pulling up again. So, the agenda that I propose is, first of all, to review the, or hopefully to get some insight into the last council call and their action or inaction on the, on our recommendation on consent, and to see if there's any work items that stemmed out of that for the task force. It's a little unclear to me. Secondly, to review if there's any review, sort of planning for Luxembourg.
Greg Ruth joining.
Hello, Greg. Great. I also wanted to briefly recap or briefly revisit Maria's document on the uses of Whois. Do you know if Maria is going to be on the call today, Glenn?
She should be. What I'm
okay.
going to do is I'm going to give her a ring on the other side.
Sure. Thank you. And then finally, just a brief recap of some of the work from Task Force 2, at least, on the previous sort of a framework for tiered access, as well as some of the tiered access documents, just to sort of make sure we're current with that work and ready to dive into it after Luxembourg. Does anyone else have any agenda items they'd like to add?
Good morning, it's Ken Stubbs on the call.
Hi, Ken.
Maggie Mansorkia joining.
Hello, Maggie. Okay, so we will, with that in mind, I guess that will be the agenda that we'll go ahead with. So the first item on the agenda is hopefully a quick recap of what happened on the council call last week, I guess. And what I gather is the council didn't take action again and deferred to Luxembourg to take action, but Bruce has proposed some revisions to the recommendation, and those have been discussed on the list over the past couple of days. But I'd like to ask if there's anyone, either maybe Ken or Nicholas, if you have any sort of more of a narrative than that, and also to let us know if there's anything that the council's looking for the task force to do on this, or if Bruce was just copying the task force as a courtesy when he forwarded his proposed edits to us.
Well, Jordan, to be honest with you, I was also expecting some clarification on this, but I'll try at least to update you with how I understood our conversation on the GNSO Council the other day. Well, as you correctly stated, the recommendation itself was not voted on, and we did not...
Sorry, no one is available to answer the call. To leave a message, press 1. To call another extension, press 2. To call the operator, press 0.
That's exciting.
We did not either vote on the amendments to the recommendation that had been suggested by Ross Rader couple of days or a couple of hours before the GNSO Council. My understanding of the discussion was that some constituencies... can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Nicholas. We just also hear the...
Yeah, I hear it as well.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But anyway, yeah, my feeling was that some constituencies were a bit reluctant to look at a recommendation that could basically suggest a specific wording that is already part of the obligation of registrars according to the RAA, and there was also some reluctance to look further than to look at strict commitments that would basically go further than simply the exchange of best practices, notably in paragraph 3 of our recommendation as it stands now. And, well, towards the end of the discussion, Bruce Tonkin requested a summary of our discussion from Mike and staff, and taking it from there, he said he would a proposal for amendment, which he has done already. You have all seen it. And that would then be the subject of discussion by in Luxembourg. So I don't know, Ken, if you have anything to add to this, or if you're understanding the same.
Not really. It just seems to me that they, as you indicated before, they were reluctant to move on an issue that they feel is already covered under the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. Frankly, I think I'm a little disappointed because, yes, for all intents and purposes, we pretty well gutted what we started with even a month ago. So I don't think that they felt it was significant enough for them to act on it at this point in time. I hope you understand what I mean by significant, you know.
Yeah.
Frustrating because we've spent a lot of time in the last few months on various...
Yeah, it seems like the discussion in the council is essentially paralleling some of the discussions here in the task force, which is a... on the one hand, registrars and maybe registries being concerned about being overly prescriptive in terms of how the consent is, or how the notification is handled, and on the other hand, concern that the modifications to make recommendations not be overly prescriptive end up just making it essentially the same as the status quo, where the registrars do have an obligation to include the provisions in their terms of service or services agreement already. So maybe the council will be able to formulate some sort of approach that we weren't able to, but it seems like from Ken or from Nicholas, I haven't heard anything specific that the council's not requesting the task force to do anything specific with regards to the modification. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. That basically the
issue. Yeah, that's correct. I think it would be a good idea for those members of the task force who are on the call to possibly consider taking a look free. Recording. What I'll do is I'll go through the MP3 recording and try to find out exactly what point in time on the call that discussion came up, because it didn't. It was almost secondary with the stuff that Paul Toomey had. That seemed to go on for an enormously long period of time. So if I can get that information, I'll forward it out to the task force, and you might be able to get a better sense of where we are at this point in time. But honestly, I'll be frank with you, I don't see us moving very far in the next meeting or in the near future until we get a clear delineation is exactly what we need to do.
The goal.
Staggering around in the dark, and we come up with a product and give it to the council, and the council says, really, we just don't think it's that essential. And I think we need to know at some point in time, we need some real essential direction. And I don't think you get these all the time from the terms of reference. I think my personal feeling is it would be a good idea for the members of the task force to meet with the members of the council, even if we did it in Luxembourg for a half an hour or so, and say, okay, guys, we've been at this for months and months and months and months, and we just can't seem to come up with a product that is relevant to exactly what you're trying to accomplish here, so let's be more specific. Where do you want us to go? You know. Maybe I'm wrong, George. That's just my thought.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I think it would be very helpful to once again have the opportunity to have the task force members interact with the council, which brings us to our second agenda item, unless anyone else has additional comments or questions on this topic. Okay, great. So our second agenda item is then the planning for Luxembourg and what, if anything, we're going to do there. Now, we are supposed to have a task force member meeting scheduled in Luxembourg, and I know I've been trading, sort of playing phone tag with Marilyn, but haven't had a chance to catch up with her. That we're having a little bit of a problem finding a slot for us. Glenn, do you know if a task force meeting slot has been nailed down yet?
That's what I'm looking at on the provisional agenda that you sent to them, or that you put up, but there's nothing that's really been nailed down yet, because I know I had a question about that as well, concerning a telephone hookups and everything. She's got it clear for Thursday afternoon, from 14 hours to 17 hours.
Okay.
With a question mark next to it, and unfortunately, Jordan, that's all I can say because Marilyn's taken that into her pocket hands.
Right. So, yeah, go ahead,
Steve. This is Steve. What I'm looking at here from a posting that Marilyn made, it says, who is task force / council? So this she's talking about a joint meeting of the WHOIS task force and the GNSO council.
Correct. I think that's the intent, Steve, is to similar to what we did in Cape Town. Yeah, trying to remember that what city that was. To have a joint meeting of the council and the task force. So I think to Ken's point, we could have address some of these sort of process and functional issues.
Jordan?
Yeah, Ken?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The only thing I'm concerned about is, we just made reference to a meeting that was 6 months ago, and I'm trying to figure out how far have we gotten in the last 6 months. I think we really need to talk turkey at this point in time. I don't think the council needs an update as much as we need some sort of a cohesive sense of direction here. Because I'm beginning to feel like all this time that we've invested up until now is just leading us nowhere, and it's really frustrating from that standpoint. So hopefully this thing just doesn't turn into another dog and pony show, but rather we can try to get something substantive. We're almost at a point in time where it's almost becoming a necessity for, or like an intense labor negotiation. You lock people in a room and you say, okay, folks, let's stay here until we get something substantive done. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, more than anything else, what we need is a real solid sense of direction, real priority.
Yeah, and my take, Ken, to a certain extent, is that hopefully the new terms of reference will provide us with direction that's a little bit more in line with something that we all feel is productive, and we're already sort of into a new PDP process with the new terms of reference. Hopefully, just as a reminder, hopefully all of the task force representatives have circulated the call for constituency statements on tasks 1 and 2 to the constituencies. And unfortunately, the first part of the PDP is a little boring in that the task force is largely waiting for input from the constituencies, although certainly I'd like to see us have to use the limited amount of dialogue we have in the meantime productively as well.
I hope the members of the task force don't take my comments to be a criticism of the task force. On the contrary, if there's any criticism there, I think it has to come from the be addressed to the council or the ICANN staff. And I'm not necessarily criticizing Maria because I think she's doing a good job, but she is a newbie, and I think somebody who's more experienced than the staff really needs to sit down and give her a strong sense of the realities that are out there.
Thanks, Ken. Now, so we do have, hopefully we have this this council / task force meeting scheduled at some point during the meeting. I guess provisionally we have Thursday afternoon right now. We'll see whether or not that becomes the final slot. Certainly, hopefully, I'll try to keep the task force up to date as soon as I have additional details, and I'm sure Glenn will.
Well,
absolutely. But go ahead, Maggie.
I was just, to the extent possible, I know it gets really full really fast. The earlier in the week that we can have the meeting, the better off we are, because I really think that I agree with Ken. I mean, there's just a lot that's, I feel like we're all running in place. I dropped off while I was on leave in late December, and I was not at Cape Town, and then I picked everything back up in mid-May, and I quite frankly, I don't think I missed a whole lot, which is disappointing. So I would really like to have a meeting, if at all possible. I know a lot of it is out of our hands because there are a lot of meetings already set earlier in the week, even if we can, you know, have a shorter period.
Yeah, Maggie, I had originally, when I had spoken with Marilyn previously, I had asked that we get the slot prior to the council meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, for whatever reason, so far it hasn't worked out that way. And like I said, I haven't been able to catch up with Marilyn to sort of nail down the details. But hopefully we'll have a chance to do that. I think, I agree with you that if possible, we'd like to have this earlier in the week. I think... you know, as you indicate, there's already a lot. It's always tough to find slots for these things, especially since we already have a fairly lengthy Who Is event on Sunday as well.
Right.
Yeah. This is Steve. I'd second what Maggie says because, you know, since the Sunday event was set first, that I think people are, I'm planning to arrive to be there, and to say that you then have to stay 5 more days in order to have a meeting of the task force doesn't, I mean, maybe the complication here is trying to schedule both the task force and the council. And if Ken, I take it from what Ken was saying, maybe we need to have a meeting just of the task force. And if the council members can participate, fine. But if that's the hang-up, because council members feel they need to attend the report on domain name hijacking and the DNS security discussion and the WISIS workshop and the IDN workshop, and all these other things, maybe members of the task force don't feel driven to attend all those things. We could actually set up a meeting, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday rather than having to wait till Thursday.
Yes,
Steve,
certainly...
I think you're 100% right. I think what's happening there is that ICANN's sending us a message and they're saying, you know, this really is important. I don't know, but frankly, I think we need to take the bull by the horns.
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest, certainly I would say if there is a slot that makes sense, except that it conflicts with something that seems like there's a marginal overlap, I'd want to at least, you know, get a sense of whether there is sort of common interest amongst task force members and whatever other event is conflicting, but I agree that if we see something that we don't think there's a strong sort of overlap, or Nexus 4, then I wouldn't be opposed to running it opposite. And I think in my previous discussion with Marilyn expressed something along those lines. But I'll try to follow up. Unfortunately, she's not on the call today, so I'll try to follow up with her to express this. And Glenn's here listening as well. So.
Well, hopefully we could get this nailed down in the next couple of days because people do need to make their travel plans about.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. I think, yeah, I mean, the schedule for Mar del Plata is sort of in flux up to the last couple of days before the meeting, and hopefully we can avoid that here. Okay, the other element I want to briefly broach with regards to planning in Luxembourg is the whether or not we think that there's any utility in us using any of the public forum time. Bruce had originally indicated that during the GNSO Council public forum that he anticipated having some time allocated for the task force. I know on our last call, the sentiment of the task force was that it wouldn't be productive to use that time in order to explore the first two tasks in our new terms of reference, which we've called for constituency statements on. But I guess I'm at this point. I don't see any strong. Nothing strikes me as being something that would be particularly strong to interact with the public on for our current work items. But I'd be glad to entertain comments on whether other people have suggestions for anything that we'd like to propose that we use the public forum time for. Otherwise, we can simply let Bruce know that the task force doesn't see any specific use of the doesn't anticipate any specific use of the open mic time, I guess, public forum.
Jordan, this is Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy?
Good morning, everybody. Sorry to be late on the call. I think there might be some value in talking at the public forum about what's coming up. It's one thing to address a closed session and to work with the council members in closed meetings or other task force members, but we haven't gotten a lot of public comment in the past, and I think we should let people know what's coming up, even if we don't know the exact dates when everything's going to be open. But now this is a different audience, and I think we should tell them what's before the constituencies now, and I think we should tell them what will and describe it and describe, you know, the recommendations in some detail and talk about when this will be open back up to the public, if it will be opened back up to the public under the PDP process, and when people can participate.
Yeah.
It's another avenue for reaching out to the public beyond just the same voices.
Yeah, absolutely, Kathy. I would be surprised, I guess, if the council didn't ask for at least some sort of update from the task force in Luxembourg. So certainly giving that update in the public forum gives the opportunity for the public to comment as appropriate. That's what we've done in each of the past two meetings, Kathy. So.
Okay. Good.
Hey, Jordan Ross here. I've been on for about 10 minutes, but haven't had a decent break in to say hi.
Morning, Ross.
Jordan, this is Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea of an update makes sense, and you know, maybe it can be both forward-looking and. Well, it's forward-looking in two senses. First, that we have two recommendations now that we're done with, I guess, and that are farther along in the process, so you could talk about that, and that would be an opportunity for the council to get public input on it if people want to give it. And then you could briefly describe, you know, just what our new terms of reference are and what we're going to be doing. I guess that makes sense as kind of a way of reporting to the public on what's going on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, essentially we have, you know, a number of discrete work items at this point, some of which, as you indicate, are well along in the process, one of which is essentially completely out of our hands at this point, and another one of which is sort of in the final stages before it goes to the council. And then, you know, also to talk about the sort of the work plan, at least, or the what the rest of the terms of reference are, and our rough, I mean, we have put together sort of a rough calendar of how we'd like to be approaching it, so we can definitely relay that to the public as well, which does include near the end of that, of the process for the remaining work items. There is obviously a public comment period at the point we develop specific recommendations for the council. Okay. Any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, Jordan, Cassie, is there a way, I've seen items posted to the public on different parts of the ICANN website, sometimes, and even under different parts of the GNSO. We might want to, I don't know if it's possible for this to be done ahead of time, just figure out one place where the public can monitor, and just have them monitoring the item. If they want more information, just one place they can keep looking, and use the public forum to advertise it, one particular piece of the website.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, that, what you raised, Kathy, is definitely an item I've heard ICANN indicate that they're struggling with a little bit. I know that they've talked about concepts such as like an RSS feed and so on, which may be a little great for the more technical of us, but perhaps less ideal for casual users. But I know it's definitely something that that ICANN's sort of aware that the messaging to the public is something that there's ongoing work on. I think, and maybe Glenn can correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're trying now everything that sort of they perceive a broad public interest in, even if it's mainly posted on the GNSO site, would also be cross-posted under the main sort of news section of the ICANN website. Am I right about that, Glenn?
Yes.
Yeah. So generally speaking, I think, Kathy, from at this point, you should always be able to just look at the sort of latest, you know, stuff in the middle of the main ICANN webpage and get sort of the latest and greatest, regardless of whether it's just a GNSO policy work item or an official announcement from ICANN.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the only problem with that is during like ICANN meetings, that space turns over really fast, so stuff may not stay there for very long.
Thanks.
Okay, any other comments about Luxembourg? I'll try to chat with Marilyn and Glenn in the very near future and nail down the meeting slot for the task force and communicate that over the list. Okay, great. So the third item on the agenda, which I don't know if we're going to actually cover, is did we ever find Maria?
There is
actually
no
response
from the Brussels office.
Well, hopefully everyone's okay.
They've all left on holiday early.
I guess so, quite early.
Glenn, so, can I ask a real quick question here, Jordan?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Have we been able to track down the MP3 recordings for the council meeting?
Yes, Ken. It's up on the website.
All right,
fine. And it is also on the calendar page. Sorry, there was a technical error in that.
Okay, I'll dig that out.
Which I could only get fixed on Monday.
Thank you.
Great. So the next item on our agenda was going to be a brief recap of the use, sort of the list of uses that Maria had compiled. I know we've had just one comment from Tim about adding an additional use. He's not really here to run through it with us, but I guess the list seems fairly comprehensive to me. Obviously, constituencies right now also have the opportunity to provide additional comment with regards to the purpose of WHOIS and the purpose of the various contacts. But we're not looking at this point for additional inputs on the uses. So it's probably good to make sure that this document's capturing most of the identified uses in the past. So I guess let me just ask the question: has everyone had an opportunity to look at the document, and do we think it's adequate in terms of documenting, the various uses of WHOIS, And you know, this will be essentially be the input. Obviously, there's a lot that went into it as well that we can also rely upon in terms of previous sources. But you know, do we think this is a useful input in terms of our ongoing discussion of the purpose of WHOIS, recognizing that there may be some distinction between the use and the purpose?
Could you talk about how the document's going to be used, Jordan?
It's a data point, Kathy. It's like I said, people. I think as we get into our discussion of the purpose, certainly we would want to consider the various uses, and see. I would suggest that we make sure that we, for each of the uses that we would want to have, either decided that use was addressed by the purpose, was intentionally, we decided that may be what people are using it for, but we don't think it's the purpose, or something else. But I just want to make sure that we're sort of aware of the uses when we're framing the purpose to determine whether or not, we want to make a conscious decision about whether or not various uses fit the purpose or not. So just bottom line, Kathy, it's just the data input for us to use as we move ahead on the purpose.
I guess I'm trying to see if it's going to be viewed kind of as a be-all and end-all, or just a staff list that was compiled at a certain point in time.
Well, the intent is, it is just a staff list that was compiled at a certain point in time, but it was intended to be. Basically, we made a decision previously that we weren't going to do additional data gathering on the uses of WHOIS. And this list is intended to be comprehensive in terms of gathering all of the uses that have been identified to date. So to a certain extent, although it's not, I wouldn't say it's explicitly intended to be a be-all and end-all, the practical effect is that, there shouldn't be any other places where we're getting uses from at this point, although if we discovered them, I certainly wouldn't have a problem with considering them.
Hey, Jordan, this is, I just wanted to let you know I was on the call.
Okay, great. I think I had that previously.
Was that Tim?
Yeah. Did that answer your question, Kathy?
Yeah, I'd like to keep it open a little while longer and take a closer look at it. At the time, I wasn't quite sure how it was going to be used. Let me just take a closer look at it in light of some of the historical documents I've got in my files.
Sure. No, I think that's useful. I think we all should continue to take a look at this and make sure that we're satisfied with it. I think, the one thing that jumped out at me, Tim already pointed out, which is that WHOIS is used for validating registrants prior to issuing a digital certificate. But other than that, it seemed to capture most of the uses that I've heard about. Any other questions or comments on this? Okay, great. So to Kathy's point, I think, if people do want to take a little bit of time to make sure they've reviewed this and submitted any comments, that would be helpful. At some point, we'd want to. It's just a data input, but at some point, we'd want to be relatively happy with a list so we can use it for the basis of some further discussions. So I'd certainly say by Luxembourg, if people have input, please provide it prior to that. Okay, great. So our last topic today, and hopefully the meatiest of them, is I wanted to review a few documents that I had sent out to the list previously a couple weeks ago, with regards to tiered access. If we look at our work plan and our terms of reference, we are currently. Dealing with the fifth item from our terms of reference, or it's gone out for constituency statements, which is the conflict with national laws recommendation. The other four items, the third one relates to access to WHOIS. The fourth one, which relates to accuracy, as we discussed previously, we've deferred time on our calls on that until after Luxembourg, although, as I indicated previously, people are more than welcome to continue to work that issue on the list. I know Ross had sent out a update previously. And the first two items relating to the use and or the purpose of WHOIS and the contacts are out for constituency statements right now as well. So that really leaves us with number three, which is the access to WHOIS piece for some additional discussion in the interim. And I wanted to at least briefly. I think to a large extent it will be hard to resolve that issue until we have resolved issues one and two. But I did want to at least sort of make sure we were up to date in terms of understanding the work that's been previously done. So I think the most useful place to start, and I don't know if everyone has it in front of them, but Task Force 2 included in its initial report published way about a year ago a number of sort of criteria that the task force had thought would be useful guides, I guess. I want to make sure I'm expressing this correctly, because I know that, for example, the BC and the IPC had not necessarily, and maybe the ISPs as well, had not necessarily endorsed the concept of tiered access, but they had endorsed exploring it further with the understanding that if we were to do so, certain sort of key elements should be in place. And so that is, as I mentioned, we put together a number of recommendations around that, and I'm just pulling them up. So if any of you have it handy, it's in the Task Force 2 recommendations, and it, I'll just read them briefly. I'm trying to remember how long they are. Not too bad. So basically the framework that the Task Force 2 had put together are that were based on six sort of principles, which were that first, that the technical and operational details about a domain should continue to be displayed to the public on an anonymous basis, and providing some basic contact information, possibly limited to the name and country for both the registrant and admin contact, may also be appropriate in the interest of balancing contactability and privacy concerns. Further contact details for the registrant and admin contacts would only be available in one or more protected tiers. The second principle was that registrants should have the option to direct that some or all of their protected data be displayed in the public. So basically, even if the default was a limited set of data, that registrants would have the option of publishing a broader set of data. If they, for example, I think many companies would probably find this to be useful so that people would know who they were dealing with and so they could get digital certificates, as an example. The third principle is that those meeting the requirements and identifying a legitimate use to access the protected information should be able to access it in a timely manner. So basically, there would be some distinction between what the public can get access to and what some group of people who have a need to get access to the information. Once we've established who those people are and identified them, that they should be able, they don't, shouldn't have to wait a long time to get access to the protected information. The fourth principle is that those seeking access to the protected information should identify themselves in a verifiable manner. And then once identified, the user would be able to have a portable credential rather than needing to verify their identity on a registrar or by registrar basis, or even a registry by registry basis. So somehow, someone that gets access to this data and proves that they have, proves who they are, and I guess that they have a legitimate purpose, would get some sort of credential that they could use to access the data regardless of where the repository of the data was. And they wouldn't have to go through that verification process a bunch of times. Fifth, that the system should be affordable for implementers and for users. And six, that registrars and registries should continue to have full access to the full Whois data for technical and operational purposes. And so those recommendations were endorsed by Task Force 2 as principles that would be useful. The Task Force also did identify a number of questions as well that they thought needed to be answered before a system could be implemented, which I am not going to read at the moment because I want to just add one more bit of input, I guess. The other document I previously circulated was, I think, essentially based on these principles, and it was a PKI-based tiered access framework that Thomas Rossler had put together that essentially involved, you know, using some sort of a third party, a new kind of accredited ICANN entity, which would be a verifier.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is Carlotta.
Hi, Carlotta. Are you here for the ICANN Whois call?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I think you may have entered the wrong conference somehow.
I'm so sorry. I think I fouled up the lines.
No problem.
Hello, Carlotta, my love. Hello to David. Will you please?
Carlotta may have had the answer for us.
Maybe.
Now we've lost.
Carlotta is David Mocker.
David is back, Carl. Carlotta sends her regards to all.
Thanks, David.
But I joined the call as well, not only her.
Oh, wow.
Tom. Yeah, a little bit late.
Sorry, I thought you weren't going to be able to make it, Tom.
Yeah, finally, yeah. The other conference was short as I thought.
Great. Well, congratulations on your new addition as well, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay, so I was just briefly mentioning that Thomas, another document I'd circulated a couple weeks ago was Thomas Rossler had put together a PKI-based implementation or suggestion that took these principles into account, I think, that essentially, you know, used this third-party verifier that ICANN would accredit to essentially make sure that make sure that people were who they say they were and issue some sort of digital certificate to them that could then be used in order to gain access to the protected data. So that's sort of the work that had previously been done as part of Task Force 2, and I think Thomas's recommendation may have come to the joint Task Force 1 and 2. I don't recall 100%. But I want to ask, first of all, if we think that these principles, at the very least, are still a good starting point. It seems to me that as we start to consider the notion of tiered access and discussion of access, that, you know, rather than reinventing the wheel, maybe if we could start from, you know, either endorsing these principles or tweaking them, that we may be well off in terms of a further exploration of that topic instead of trying to at least, you know, figure out what's important again. So anyone have any comments about whether or not they think these principles are useful? And I'm going to assume if everyone doesn't say anything that they think they are useful.
Jordan, this is Steve. I think they are useful as a starting point. You several times used the verb endorse, which I would not think is the right one in this context. But I think they kind of give a good starting point for considering this issue.
I'll read the paragraph that we let in, because you're right, the language was a little bit dicey, but I'll read the paragraph we let into the principles with in the Task Force 2 report, which is essentially the Task Force believes that a system that provides different data sets for different uses, also known as tiered access, may serve as a useful mechanism to balance the privacy interests of registrants and the ongoing need to contact those registrants by other members of the Internet community. The task force believes that such a system should be based on the following principles. So essentially, we haven't endorsed tiered access, and we didn't endorse tiered access in Task Force 2, but we did say if we were going to look into it further, these would be the principles that should guide that inquiry.
Yeah, I kind of look at this as almost sort of definitional, that when we say tiered access, something like this is what we're talking about. And now let's look at it, see if this is feasible, see if this can be implemented, see if this will work, and so forth. But this kind of defines what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's obviously other systems that we could,
right,
that probably would be tiered access that wouldn't meet all of these criteria. But, you could imagine a system that made someone go through a verification process every time they access the data, that would still probably be tiered access, but wouldn't be found to be as reasonable by various members. I mean, we've already, I guess, done some due diligence in terms of trying to find a balance between access to the data on the one hand and privacy on the other hand, in terms of defining some of these principles that go, I think, a little bit beyond the definition.
Kathy.
Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
I'm going to have to agree that I don't think as a task force we endorsed it, the principles per se. I think it was, as Steve says, laying something out what it might look like. But I seem to recall, and maybe it's so long ago I've forgotten, but I seem to recall this being rather controversial, which is why we were so careful in our introduction to it, that we weren't endorsing it. And in some ways we may be putting the cart before the horse. I was surprised to kind of see the tiered access on the agenda for today, because I think the next step is to go back to what we've been asked for in the PDP and then the new terms of reference. We have to talk about what the purpose is of the WHO is, and then we can talk about the mechanisms for accessing the data. Again, I think now, in light of what our new mandate is under the terms of reference, this is kind of the cart before the horse.
Yeah, Kathy, I don't disagree that we may end up finding that either tiered access doesn't comport with what we find the purpose of WHO is to be, or does not, or that the specific sort of vision of it that we had originally imagined may not be exactly what we currently have here. But I guess our two alternatives are to sort of wait and do nothing until we get constituency statements back. Or to at least try to make sure that we have some of these sort of framework principles there. And I think, if we could agree that if we were to pursue, continue to pursue a tiered access-based approach, that we thought these would be useful principles, I think it may, rather than having that conversation sort of once we decide to go down the road of tiered access, if we do, this may help accelerate that work at a later stage.
Or it may get you certain answers that you wouldn't get to otherwise. And it just seems that we're doing the procedure before we do the principle, because this really is very procedural, and we still haven't defined what the purpose of WHO is yet.
Yeah, I'd have to kind of echo Kathy's comments as well, Jordan. I'm just kind of confused as to what the immediate relevance is of that workload.
So I've explained the immediate relevance. The immediate relevance is that our first, we have a couple of different approaches to the work, right? We could do one and two, and then number three sort of serially, which is fine, but that means that we essentially can't do work on one, two, or three until we've had constituency statements back. We've already decided to defer number four until after Luxembourg, and we've decided and we've already sent number five out for constituency statements as well. So essentially,
so you're proposing that we try to answer the second sentence in three now.
I'm proposing that we.
I haven't had my coffee yet, so
I'm proposing that we identify a framework of principles that apply specifically to a tiered access approach.
Okay.
Acknowledging that we may or may not sort of elect to go down that road at a later date. but that if we do...
Which road is that, the tiered access
road? Tiered
access
road, yeah, tiered access road.
Okay.
But so to the extent that if we do, maybe to Steve's sort of earlier approach, that here's sort of what we would be looking at if we went down that road, as opposed to, sort of, okay, we've identified the purpose of who is. We think that tiered access is a useful response to that in terms of balancing, privacy and accessibility issues. And now let's start over from scratch.
Hmm.
So I'm trying to help us give ourselves a little bit of a head start if we get to that point in the future, recognizing that it may be that we'll sort of look at these recommendations and we'll decide, or look at these principles, maybe we'll edit them and then we'll decide that we're not going to use them at all. But just in terms of timing, we'll be absolutely no worse off if that happens than if we did nothing. And if we end up doing nothing and we go down the tiered access route and we end up sort of having this conversation again in, say, 6 weeks,
okay,
then we'll have saved a conference call.
And the principles are relevant to which action item in the terms of reference?
Okay. Well, I guess to that extent, yes, we are looking probably at, in the third action item, probably, let me just pull them up again, because I had just closed them.
Never close the terms of reference.
So it would be, determine how to access data that is not available for public access. You're probably right, Ross. It would be the second sentence. If we would be providing a provisional framework for further exploration into that second sentence.
Okay. So then I'd ask that we try and have a more general discussion prior to focusing on tiered access. Because we're really talking about a mechanism here. And, I for one, I'm not sure that... I know for a fact that I've not ever had a conversation about tiered access in a task force setting. So at the very least, it would be useful from my perspective to get up the curve as to what some of those mechanisms are and maybe even pick one, right?
Well, Jordan, this is Steve. Can I get in the queue?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Anyone else? Okay, Steve.
Ross, I think this is what Jordan is suggesting, because if you haven't had a conversation about tiered access in the task force setting, you're a very fortunate person.
But
I
had
task force too, had a lot of them, and this is kind of what we came up with. I think Kathy's right; it was very heavily negotiated.
Sure.
So I guess it strikes me this is a good starting point, and maybe not on this call, but if we could ask people to take a look at this and react to it.
Okay, which is a good starting point?
Section 3.5 of the Task Force 2 preliminary report.
Okay.
I'm sure Jordan can provide the link to. Or
no, I can dig it up this one.
Jordan, can David, can I get in the queue too?
Yeah, go ahead, David. Anyone else?
I just wanted to remind people that Task Force 1 looked at some of these issues as well before we were merged. And included it in our preliminary report. So it might be good if we could include the preliminary findings from Task Force 1, too.
Yeah, let me...
I'm with Steve. Ross, you're lucky. We spent a lot of time talking.
Yeah, so that's essentially what I'm trying to avoid, Ross, is sort of regurgitating a lot of conversation that we
had
a year ago.
In the interest of efficiency, I wouldn't want to revisit every single line item in there. I just want to understand what's on the table and input on that if necessary. I don't want this to be a fait accompli just because some other task force talked about it previously.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's why I am asking for input on it suggesting that we now vote to adopt this as the only way that we're ever going to possibly consider tiered access.
Yep, that's fine, I completely understand that now, so thanks for walking me through that.
But
Kathy?
Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. First, can we change the word from principles maybe to something like specifications? Because principles is kind of a bigger concept than steps of procedure. So I offer that as a recommendation. Also, Jordan, there are now two pieces of a report, the Task Force 2 report, Section 3.5, and whatever the Task Force 1 report was. Can somebody put those together and circulate that? Because I know I read the Task Force 1 report at one point, but I don't remember its discussion on this topic.
I was actually just in the process of doing that, Kathy, so I don't mind
making that
a public document. That's fine.
Yeah, thanks, Ross. Yeah, I actually remember some sort of overlap with the Task Force 1 and 2 reports, but I wasn't sure that it was necessarily right here. But if David remembers otherwise, I'm sure he's right. So we'll pull that out.
And
thanks, Ross.
Can I add one more?
Yes, certainly.
That when, at least in Task Force 2, when we dealt with this topic, we did not deal with it, at least I don't remember dealing with it, as rigorously as we've dealt with things since. It was really kind of the ending of our report and setting out some ideas for going forward, not necessarily ideas we wanted to be bound by, as you noticed by the wording. But one of the things that I don't remember talking about is how we access data in other settings that's not available for public access. For example, we didn't bring in any law enforcement, to the best of my knowledge, to talk about accessing unlisted phone number data in any country. Since then, we've had a lot more presentations and brought in experts, and I just don't remember any experts coming in, at least on Task Force 2, to talk about this topic. So I'm a little reluctant to be bound by what we did. I thought it was more setting out kind of flags to be looking for rather than milestones to be met.
Yeah, no, I think that, so I guess, you know, to Ross's earlier point as well, Kathy, when we look at the second sentence of the terms of reference, it essentially, it exactly says, determine how to access data that is not available for public access. And so, you know, the range there, I guess, is that there's no possible way to access that data on one spectrum. And the other end of the spectrum might be some very light, it's not public, but all you have to do is, pass one of those things like they have on websites all over these days where they show you a picture and you have to type in the letters from it or something like that. Might not be 100% public, but there might be a very low threshold for taking a look at it. So tiered access, I guess, is and these specifications or whatever we want to call them, are one approach to answering that question. I guess another approach in the middle of the spectrum might be that you have to subpoena for information all the time or something like that. I think to your point, it's very helpful that we are going to have a session with law enforcement in Luxembourg. And perhaps be able to get some additional feedback on that data. But certainly I would, so just in terms of leaving some work for the list, seems like what I would suggest as an approach to this issue of the second sentence of the third point of the terms of reference is to ask Ross to kindly circulate his document with the previous findings. I'll also recirculate Thomas Rossler's document, which I think is useful just because it's a more practical sort of explanation of how something that meets the specifications in the Task Force 2 recommendations might actually play out in the real world. And then I think we can maybe open up on the list a conversation about the various ways that people might imagine getting access to data that is not publicly available, possibly using the work of the previous task forces as a starting point. Does that make sense? So I guess the bottom line is I'm going to encourage people to discuss the findings from both Task Force 2 and Task Force 1, as well as any other ideas about accessing non-public data on the list. Okay. Any other thoughts about this? Okay, so we'll leave this with Ross is going to circulate a document that includes. Are you including both Task Force 2 and Task Force 1, Ross, or just Task Force 1?
Yeah, what I've cut and pasted is recommendations 5 through 12 from TF1.
Mm-hmm.
And recommendation 3.5 from TF2.
Okay, great. So Ross will send that around to the list. I'll recirculate the Thomas Rossler proposal. I think there was one other proposal, maybe from Tom Keller or the registrars at some point, way long ago. Maybe it was included in the initial registrar statement. I don't remember. I'll look back and see. Circulate those ideas, and then and generally encourage people to consider this question of what approaches might be feasible for accessing non-public information, presuming that there is such a thing, which we haven't yet gotten to the point of that being a agreed upon outcome of the task force. But assuming for a moment that we do get to that point. What would be the approaches to access the data?
Okay. So we won't be having a discussion about whether or not that exists now?
I think that will be harder to do until we have the purpose of who is.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So yes, we're trying to do some pre-work on number three, even though we can't really get into the entirety of it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Beforehand. That, other than that, just because of this, of where we are with the various work items, I think that's probably all we can do between now and when we've received constituency statements back on July 21st, unless anyone else has any other ideas of additional work they'd like to see the task force engage on between now and then. Okay, so... We'll continue to try to work that on the list. I think, given that, we probably won't have a call next week. We'll continue this every other week mode, with the every other week being Luxembourg would be the next meeting for us. And like I said, I'll endeavor to finalize a meeting slot for us and publish it to the list over the next couple of days. Anyone else have any other final business before we wrap this call up? Okay. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see or just talk with you all in a couple weeks in Luxembourg.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jordan.
Bye-bye.